website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the lively discussion and the dialogue on the issue of the day. We're talking about three various issues, and there's a nexus between the three. The Voter ID Act, introduced in the House, being promulgated and pushed by the conservative Republicans and President Trump. Then the notice to Iran by Donald Trump, the President of the United States of America. On March the 12th, President Trump gave a written letter to the head of Iran that they must cease and desist any push toward the nuclear device, getting a nuclear weapon. Or, if they did not, he goes into detail as far as the repercussions from America against the nation of Iran if they refused to surrender their strides to get a nuclear weapon. I believe that it's time we recognized, ladies and gentlemen, that President Trump means business. And then a third, if you please, angle or portion of that is Islam compatible with Christianity? How do these three thoughts blend? What's the purpose, and how do we carry out our responsibility as conservatives, Christians, and patriots in America? That's some thoughts that I'm throwing out for you, and a pre-monologue aspect of where we're going today. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's God's truth book. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples on one of the occasions, as recorded in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, the word of God says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth book, ladies and gentlemen, that we should look at. By the way, the Word of God, the truth book, needs no updating, no modernization, no revision, no changes, no watering down in order for someone to receive it. It is a sad, sad shame that, well, the last count that I had, some 483 different versions of the Scripture are being promulgated, pushed for profit, of course, in the Western Hemisphere. I am appalled by the fact that we have so many versions, so many so-called translations, that it's confusing to the non-believer to try to explain to them what the Bible says is true salvation and how a person is saved. But Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Lord that endures forever, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in a society today where most are not interested in truth. Most are not interested in truth when it comes to philosophical ideas and dogma. Most are not concerned about truth when it comes to talking about theological, biblical, doctrinal issues. Most are not concerned about fundamental truth when it comes to anything dealing with the political arena, which God's Word refers to as civil government. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, truth is not sought after. It goes back to the thought that I find from George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. It was Orwell that said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And by the way, if you want to test that, just get in a group, two or three, four, five or more. Bring up a certain thought, philosophy, idea about truth, the truth of what is happening in America, the truth of what is taking place with some of the parties, the Socialist, Marxist, Communist Party versus the Republicans and the Conservatives, and listen to some of the dogma, some of the things that is said that will challenge you with your truth. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, truth is truth, and you can't take a whole truth and divide it. It's a half-truth, and the half-truth is a whole lie. I go back to the fact that the latest survey shows that 55%, that's not 5%, it's 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as truth or absolute truth. Looking at the headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The beginning of the article, it says, Webster's Dictionary says, truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being the case in fact. But yet, according to the poll, majority of the younger Americans say this: each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's impossibility. That's the reason we have chaos and confusion today. That's the reason right at this very moment when Republicans, under the leadership of President Donald J. Trump, is introducing a bill that's called the Save America Act. I believe that's the title of it. It is talking about having voting on a federal level. You have to have a ID, a voter's ID, to prove that you're an American, to prove that you have the right to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll just do this very quickly before we wrap up some other thoughts in the monologue. Very recently, a very conservative female contender for the Prime Minister of France was barred from being a candidate in the voting process. Why? Because the overwhelming majority of those in France are not French, generally speaking. They're the invaders coming in from around the world, primarily those of the Islamic jihadist background that now controls France, controls Germany, and basically all of Europe is controlled by the Islamic jihadists today coming in. As a result of that, they did not want this female that was a solid conservative. I'm not that knowledgeable, super knowledgeable about it, but that which I've read, that which I've looked at in relationship to it, she was the right candidate to deliver France from absolute oblivion. But nevertheless, that was not adhered to, not embraced, because of the Marxist regime that controls France today. But ladies and gentlemen, if we get back to the fundamentals of truth, I go back to a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this statement: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, this is the nexus, this is the connectivity to all that we see today. We have those today that are rejecting the voter ID bill, and they're making all kinds of outlandish claims in relationship to what it's going to do. It's going to destroy democracy. It's going to destroy the person's right to vote. It's going to infringe on it. It's a racist bill, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you think? Do you think that there's a need for an ID to be able to go to the polls and vote? I do. We're going to talk about that extensively today as one of the major points, as well as Iran is at the tipping point. What does it mean, at the tipping point? You know, Barack Hussein Obama and Joe Biden released all restraints against Iran, furnished Iran with billions, hundreds of billions of dollars, and allowed them, encouraged them, promoted them as they continue to develop the nuclear weapon. If Iran had a nuclear weapon today, there would not be a nation on the face of the globe that would be safe, especially Israel. Israel is considered as Satan, and America's the great Satan in the eyes of Iran. Iran, by the way, if I can remind you once again, is part of the five-nation coalition that comes with Russia against Israel and blossomed into a global conflagration that I would simply call the Third World War. as found and outlined and described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. I believe President Trump is on the right track with what he's saying and doing. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for a Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a wonderful benchmark, an identifier. How do you find Tools for a Time? Very simple. There's on the campus of Tools for a Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is U.S. flag Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Just one more moment, and ladies and gentlemen, after we finalize a brief addition to the monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but it's kind of exciting to me as I see some of the things coming together prophetically, eschatologically speaking. As we see some of the things happening today, we need to recognize that God's on the throne. God's at work. What God says he's going to do, he will do. What God has said, he has done. We can look at the Word of God and know, see what God has done in the past, present, and the future, and what he says. I'm looking at a headline, Iran finally at the tipping point. In his New Year's address, Supreme Leader Khomeini, drew a telling parallel between the year 1403 and the Iranian calendar, and 2024 and 25, and the year 1981, which was on the Islamic calendar, 1360, stating, the year 1403 was full of turmoil, like the challenges we faced in 1360. That was in 1981 for our calendar. Difficult and painful times for us, he said. And of course, he's referring back to 81 when Ronald Reagan gave his inaugural speech on January 21st, 1981. Iran released the 53 hostages, American hostages, it had held for 444 days. So in his reference to 1981, Iran's current leader signaling his regime's deep anxiety and history may soon repeat itself, but with different outcomes, this writer says. Today, both the United States under President Donald J. Trump's leadership and Europe united in demanding that Iran abandon its nuclear ambitions with enforceable guarantees. Trump's two-month ultimatum is about to expire. By July, the snapback mechanism under the U.S. United Nations framework may automatically be reactivated, reinstating global sanctions on Iran. So Tehran faces a critical choice, abandon its nuclear program and negotiate a brace for targeted airstrikes from America. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think President Trump's playing with them. I'm looking at another article. I'll read a portion of it and open our lines for your discussion. Tensions between the United States and Iran have once again reached a critical point called the tipping point. President Donald Trump has warned that if Iran does not agree to a nuclear deal with Washington, there will be severe consequences. In his strongest threat yet, Trump said in a televised interview, if you don't make a deal, there will be bombing. It will be bombing the likes of which have never been seen before, end quote. His comments have raised fears of new military conflict in the Middle East, especially as the sanctions between Iran and its neighbors continue to escalate. Then it recites this. On March 12th, President Trump sent a formal letter to the Supreme Leader in Iran, urging him to reopen nuclear negotiations. This letter was delivered through the government of Oman, which has often served as the neutral party in discussions between the United States and Iran. Trump revealed the existence of the letter in an interview saying, quote, I've written to them a letter saying, I hope you're going to negotiate because if we have to go militarily, it's going to be a terrible thing for you. Trump's letter reportedly gave Iran 2 months deadline to reach a new agreement. If no deal is made by then, the president has threatened both military action and reintroduction of the secondary tariffs on countries that continue to do business with Iran. There's a chance, if they don't make the deal, that it will be secondary tariffs on Iran like I did 4 years ago, Trump told NBC News. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching things wind up in a crescendo toward the accomplishment of and the ultimate goal that was in the prophetic text in the Word of God. God's Word has already warned us. God's Word has already told us. God's Word has already informed us what the end result will be and where we're going as nations around the world. But Trump says, refers to this as the tipping point. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe today, my personal opinion, I believe Iran already has the nuclear device. I believe they're trying to churn out more nuclear materials so that they can have more than one or two nuclear devices. I believe the major thing they're struggling with is a carrier mechanism that will be able to launch and get that nuclear weapon, nuclear device, wherever they aim, wherever they want it. My personal opinion is I believe there's coming a day very soon that a Scud missile or some type device will be released from Iran or its terrorist puppet states that will clean the clock for the mosque that is in Jerusalem today, will clean the clock, remove the mosque, so the third temple can be rebuilt quickly. I believe that's on the horizon. I believe that is the modus operandi that will be used, in my most humble opinion, in studying the scripture and realizing where we're going and what's going to take place. I believe that's the mechanism that God's going to use for that to take place, to release Israel, to build the third temple, and to start the if you please, the conflagration that will ultimately be taking place. But by the way, just a little parenthetical footnote. The thing that the Islamic jihadists want, W-A-N-T, that they're looking for, that they're striving to achieve, is global confusion, conflict, and military battles, because it's their opinion, based on their biased, twisted, perverted ideology, that once the world gets in that condition, then the hidden Iman, the third Iman, 12th Iman, the one that's the hidden Mahdi, will return and allow the whole world to be Islamicized. That's the goal. That's what Islam is pushing for. That's what they're looking for, is total global control. And this is one of the reasons, and it's the nexus that I see today, that is the rationale behind our grave need to have a voter ID law in America. What we see in the coming months and years, if we do not have that ID for voting, is we're going to find more and more of the Islamic jihadists coming in out of the 20-some-odd million, right at 30 million perhaps, that came in under the Obama and the Biden administration, that basically flooded our borders and came into America illegally. And now because we're sending some of them back, which they should have never been here, because we're catching them and sending them back by the thousands, the left is hair on fire, screaming that we're doing something wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, the Voter ID Act is a must. And we'll talk about that further in a moment. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, you are dead on point. I'm telling you. And I appreciate your program, and I love what you are doing for this nation and for God.
Amen. Well, I'm thankful for the privilege, and I pray that it will wake people up. I pray that it will get folks, to, especially conservatives, Christians, and patriots, to wake up, sit up, and stop being silent. That's my goal. That's the philosophy. That's what I believe that God would have me to do, as a watchman on the wall, warning of danger ahead,
yes,
lest we recognize it and change our ways as citizens. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to tell you, it started with a... I'm not going to disrespect him, because I was going to say the peanut president. When I ran, when they really went to our embassy and took it over, those students were scared. Mm-hmm. And he did not move for a minute, for a while, a long while. He didn't move.
And 444 days.
Yeah, and then when... Obama came in, okay, Benjamin Netanyahu's telling him not to give Iran nuclear power. He had them go through the back door. I'm over 70 years old, so I remember those days I had to go through the back door, mm-hmm. you know, to get my lunch, and I had to go out and eat.
Yep.
And Obama greeted the Muslim Brotherhood with hugs and kisses in the front door and stood with them for what, 2 or 3 hours?
And would bow before them in a sense, a show of submission to Islam. That's exactly what he did on several occasions. In fact, Kenneth, if I can, how would you say, take a moment of your time, let me just read you what Mike Gallagher, the eighth most recognized talk radio personality in America, he's heard by about 2.25 million listeners each week. He said this of Obama, Barack Obama. Obama, it was you who spoke these words at an Islamic dinner. I am one of you. It was you who ABC referred to as my Muslim faith. It was you who gave $100 million of U.S. tax funds to rebuild the foreign mosque. It was you who wrote that in the event of a conflict, quote, I will stand with the Muslims. It was you who assured the Islamic foreign minister that I am a Muslim. It was you that bowed in submission before the Saudi king. It was you who sat for 20 years in the Liberation Theology Church condemning America and professing Marxism. It was you, Obama, who exempted Muslims from penalties under Obamacare that the rest of us had to pay. It was you who promoted, purposefully omitted, endowed by our Creator from the recitation of the Declaration of Independence. It was you, Obama, who mocked the Bible and Jesus Christ's Sermon on the Mount while repeatedly referring to the Holy Quran. And it goes on with about 50 other statements about Obama. And that's exactly what has taken place. And I believe that we have too many Americans today that somehow, some way, are embracing Islam as a, quote, sister religion, as Rick Warren, out of a California church, Rick Warren called Islam a sister religion. He would allow the Islamic jihadist imams to come into his pulpit and a Christian church and will preach Islam and then have the Islamic call for prayer for his parishioners to endure, to listen, and to be sold a bill of goods and embrace. And it's that mindset. It is the ignorance and the immaturity of Christians, conservatives, and patriots that is allowing this to take place. And I am concerned for the Voter ID Act, because if we do not, we're going to see in the near future where Islam will be the dominant vote and will control. The demographers, if I get that word, demographers in 2009 said that by 2050, America will be controlled by Islam. And we're on the fast track for that today, unless we pass the Voter ID Act. Now, question before I let you go, Kenneth.
Yes,
do
sir.
You believe,
yes, sir.
Do you believe that it is necessary to have a picture ID to be able to vote in an American election?
Yes, sir. We better have it. And I want to put this comment in right quick. I think it's in Congress. Okay, you don't supposed to have your hat on, but these women come in, and they are, I think they're Islamic. They have their little, whatever they have on their head. I don't care. You know, you respect our country. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to be in America, get the heck out of America.
Absolutely. I'm in 100% agreement. In fact, it was in 1907, Roosevelt said, President Roosevelt said almost the same thing. If you're not willing to come in and assimilate with Americans, if you're not willing to come in and learn English as America, if you're not willing to be a part of American system, then you don't need to be in America because you're an un-American. And that's exactly where I stand today. That's where President Trump stands. And yet I believe we are divided as a nation, including some Republicans today that think somehow, some way, we ought not to have a voter ID to be able to cast a ballot at the voting booth on election day. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call.
We better have it. Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
We better have it.
We'll lose a nation. The nation,
yes,
America,
sir,
is at risk of being lost to the Islamic jihadists and those that are the terrorists that are coming in, the invaders, unless we do something with the voting. Kenneth, thank you, brother, for your call. God bless you and keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the Voter ID Act. Do you believe we need to have picture ID? to be able to vote. What do you think about Iran and what President Trump has said to them in his letter and verbally on a international level? He's already put Iran on notice. Either you surrender your attempt to get a nuclear device or we're going to bomb you. Now, I'm not going to use the same words that Trump used in relationship to what he would do. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe it takes the strong arm of a president with a spine to speak up and then be able to stand behind what he says. Right at this present time, we're still bombing Syria. Syria is Islamic jihadist controlled. Syria is an Islamic nation. Syria today, murdering, slaughtering, beheading, burning, destroying thousands upon thousands of Christians in Syria, in on the continent of Africa, especially in the Congo. Multitudes of thousands of Christians are being slaughtered, murdered, beheaded by the Islamic jihadists. And yet it's very little. It's under the radar from the standpoint of the Marxist media and what they're saying. They're not talking about that. But ladies and gentlemen, Iran with a nuclear device will hold Israel and the entire world hostage as they held Americans hostage for the 444 days back in 1980. It took a strong president then. When President Ronald Reagan was sworn in, he put Iran on notice what would happen unless they released the hostages. So by the time he was sworn in, they released the hostages. And I believe we'll witness a replay of that. I believe that's where we're headed with President Trump's strong arm, with his spine and tenacity, wisdom from God, and protection from God. I believe that's exactly what we will see, or we need to be praying that we will see, because, ladies and gentlemen, all of the Middle East will be absolutely a powder keg if Iran is allowed to continue on its journey to get a nuclear weapon. I believe we need to recognize and understand, ladies and gentlemen, the dangers unless we have a... All of this is predicated on, in part, having a voter ID law that will require every voter to be able to show that he is an American citizen and has the right to vote. You don't have the right to vote just because you've broken into the back door and you've come across the southern border and you're here illegally. You don't have the right to stand up and to demand that Jewish students be kicked out of a college or university. You don't have the right to come in and wave the so-called flag of Iran or for the Palestinians and demand that America bow and bend to the so-called Palestinians in Gaza and in other parts of the Middle East. You don't have the right to do that if you're here on a student visa, if you're here on a visitor's visa, if you have a green card. All of that is controlled by the State Department. And right now, because Marco Rubio is exercising the authority, the right, and the responsibility of the Secretary of State, he is rejecting their stand and what they're doing. And I think, very frankly, if I can just touch on this, I think that we need to pull every tax dollar, hear me, every tax dollar out of every college and every university. Listen, here's my rationale. Why should we, the people, parents and grandparents, pay the tuition to send a child or a grandchild to one of these so-called prestigious universities at the cost of hundreds of thousands of dollars when they have hundreds of billions of dollars in endowments and continue to give them hundreds of millions of dollars every year of taxpayer money? That is a citizen paying it twice. We're paying the tuition for the radicals to come in. We're paying the tuition for others, and at the same time paying tax dollars, which is double taxation in my opinion, if I can call it that, because it ought not to be. So I think it's time that, as a result of DOGE and what we're discovering, I think it's time that we tighten the belt and say to these colleges and universities that are producing worthless, good-for-nothing pieces of paper that a student cannot go to work with and collect a dollar as a paycheck. I believe it's time we say no. But ladies and gentlemen, the question is, should we have a voter ID law today? Is it possible? Is it possible that Iran will cease and desist its attempt to have the nuclear weapon? Is it possible that we're going to witness the fast-tracking of America going Islamic? Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WT